May the Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 1028. 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest and know that he's your conquering Lord. Hymn 1028. To read from his word this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, the first 46 verses. John chapter 11, down to verse 46. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he feareth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most merciful and gracious God, we do need thee now to draw near and grant to us a breath of real prayer. Oh, how we need, Lord, that true indicting of thy Holy Spirit, that we may ask for those things that are in accordance with thy holy mind and holy will that we should ask for. But, O Lord, do help us to ask in faith, nothing wavering. We thank thee, dear Lord, for sparing the brittle threads of our lives to come once more into thy courts here. And, as we gather on this thy holy day, we do pray as we're favoured with the sunshine in the earth, we may know in our souls the sweet shining of the Sun of Righteousness with healing in his wings. And, O Lord, we pray for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and to be felt, both in our hearts and too within thy house, that we may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. No, we would seek for grace, Lord, to plead that precious name of the dear Lord Jesus, a name that is just suited to every sinner's case, a name that prevails above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth. And, we pray for that sweet access at the throne of grace. We may pour out our heart before thee, Lord. And, we come just as we are before thee. Nothing is hid from thy sight. And, how we have to prove the best their very best is stained and dyed with sin, and our all is nothing worth. Oh, we would come in heart confession, Lord, and godly repentance to thy dear feet, begging and pleading for mercy. Oh, we pray that we may venture like the publican did. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, so often we cannot get above that cry. Lord, how we need thee to wash us in thy precious blood, to make us white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, that thou wouldst seal pardon and peace to each sin-sick soul this day. Oh, do sweetly assure us, dear Lord, that thou hast put away all our sins at Calvary, that thou hast redeemed us, that we are thine, that thou art ours. We pray to have that real religion that thou art the author of and the finisher of. Oh, do confirm to us that we are truly born of God, and that our treasure is above. Oh Lord, we need real things, those real tokens, those real visits from thyself. Oh, do ever keep us from presumption, Lord. But oh, that we may have that faith to believe, even to the saving of our souls. For thou hast said, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And oh, we do pray for that heavenly diligence to be given to us, that we may be ever diligent in seeking thee, in serving thee, and desiring to know no will but thine. Oh, do come, dear Lord, and meet the cases of thy dear people. May none be empty sent away this day. Oh, do grant a token for good to those that long for one. Do confirm those things in us, Lord, each that are real. But, oh, do dry up all that that's only flesh. We pray that thou wilt grant to us more and more grace. How we need thy grace to abound in us. Lord, we know so much of the aboundings of sin. But, oh, may grace abound over it all. And we pray for upholding, supporting grace, that enduring grace that we might endure to the end. Oh, do make us real, Lord, and make us right. Help us to give thee no rest until thou dost bless us. Do remember those that long for a blessing indeed. Oh, that thou wouldst grant, Lord, the opening the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. May the souls of thy people be filled with thy love, thy goodness, thy mercy. And may, Lord, it please thee to lift up any that are cast down. Lord, there's much to cast us down in this dark and solemn day. But how often we have to sigh with the dear apostle, cast down but not destroyed. And O Lord, we pray there may be a lifting up in the hearts of many. Those that are in sorrow, may those sorrows be turned into joy. Oh, do fulfill thy sweet promise, Lord. Thou didst speak to thy sorrowing disciples. Oh, do speak it into the hearts of all thy sorrowing people. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. May that be the favoured lot of many. Lord, do come and appear for those that are devil-hunted and tempted sore by Satan. Oh, do cast the adversary out and set thy people at liberty. Free them from all the bondage of sin and of Satan, and all the bondage of unbelief. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to put the works of Satan down, that thy people may walk at large. Do bless the dear children, we pray for the little ones and each of the dear young ones, that thou wilt remember them each with the favour thou bearest to thy dear people. May they be brought to know thee and to seek thee in early days. And may there be raised up those that shall be pillars in Zion in their day and generation. Do keep them and preserve them, Lord, in this evil day. And, O Lord, do remember the dear young people and help those in study and those in work and those that may need thee in some special way. We pray that thou wouldst supply their every need, and that thou would help them to look to thee, who art able to do for them far exceeding abundantly than they can ask or even think. May they be enabled to commit their way to thee and to trust also in thee. Do hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. And oh, may it please thee to keep us each by thy mighty power. For, Lord, we cannot keep ourselves. We're prone to wander and prone to leave the God we love. Do appear for those in trouble, Lord, and in many difficulties. We pray that thou wilt make a way where there seems no way. Remember those, Lord, that are in affliction's pathway, many laid aside, Lord. Those that have operations before them, and we commit to thee, our dear one, too, in what is before, if it's thy will this week. And thou wilt yet grant that needed healing and restoring. And oh, do guide the doctors and the surgeons in all that may have to be done in each case. We pray thou wilt sanctify these afflictions, and oh, may out of the bitter come forth that which is sweet. That there may be those enabled to say, it is good that I've been afflicted. And oh, may there be in those afflictions, Lord, those heavenly blessings sent down. And oh, do comfort those that are bereaved and all that have lost loved ones. And Lord, do remember Zion, we pray for thy rich blessing upon the church and congregation here, that thou wilt preserve them, protect them, and each of thy people from this solemn plague that rages in the land. O Lord, we pray that thou would add to them in the church precious souls yet. May there be others constrained, Lord. May there be yet again the moving of the waters. We do thank thee, dear Lord, for all thou hast done for them. And we pray for our own flock at home and thy dear servant with them, to grant him, Lord, that gracious anointing and sweet liberty of the Spirit. And may it be a good day in thy courts. Oh, that thou wouldst prosper Zion in these dark and solemn days, and that thou wouldst sanctify all the troubles and trials there are. And may there be yet seen thy blessed appearing. Help us each to be willing to be nothing, and a precious Jesus, the one thing that is needful. Do help thy dear servants and grant them, Lord, that heavenly anointing to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And may there be that real fruit to follow the preaching of the word. May we not just beat the air this day or spend our strength for naught. But, O Lord, we have to prove continually. But God giveth the increase. Do bless the deacons here and grant them all needed wisdom and help and grace. Do bless the hymns they give out, and may there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And dear Lord, do in mercy look upon this guilty land. May thy grace and fear be put in our leaders and rulers, in our Queen, the royal household. They may seek thy face and look to thee, all wisdom and guidance in all the affairs of the nation, who turn their hearts away from looking to man and all the opinions there are. But may it please thee to grant that there may be a real looking unto the Lord Jesus. And oh, do stem the tide of this affliction if it's thy holy will, but we pray thou wilt use it and speak through it to many. They may be brought to flee the wrath to come, and to look to thee and seek thy face, and turn from the hateful ways of sin. Do, Lord, we pray, work, for thou hast said, I will work, and who shall let it? Nor may thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Lord, we would pray for a heart to truly praise and bless thy holy name for all thy goodness and mercy. Lord, we would seek to love and praise thee more. Do anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy dear people. And may a precious Jesus be exalted, sinners laid in the dust. And oh, may it please thee, dear Lord, to clothe the word with divine power, and that which is sown in weakness may be raised in power. Forgive what we've uttered amiss and all our many sins. Make up where we so fail. So we would ask it all in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, and for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 225. Faith, 'tis a precious grace, where'er it is bestowed, it boasts of a celestial birth, and is the gift of God. Hymn 225.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, and the last part in verse 28. John's Gospel, chapter 11, and verse 28, and the last part. The Master is come and calleth for thee. John's Gospel, chapter 11, and the last part of verse 28, I'll read the whole verse. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. This chapter contains the blessed record left by the Holy Spirit of the case of Lazarus being first in the path of affliction and then in death, and the wonderful way in which the Lord was pleased to appear and bring him forth. Now there are a few things I want to say concerning leading up to the text. First of all, this was a much favoured house. The Lord loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And may it please the Lord in this dark and solemn day to sweetly assure each of us in our houses and our families that his love is toward us like it was to these three precious souls. You know, they were wonderfully favoured with the love of the Saviour being manifested to them each. And they were each different characters. We read on another occasion, don't we, that Martha was careful and troubled about many things. But he said to her, but one thing is needful. And there's no doubt there are many of you, and we often come in guilty oneself, we are careful and troubled about many things. And it may be there are those this morning that have those things that you're careful and troubled about. But you see, with dear Martha, she had that disposition, and many of us have, where she continually had to serve in the house. But with Mary, she was a different character. She could sit still in the house, but not only that, there was something far greater. She knew what it was, and may the Lord put it in each of our hearts to sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, there's no better place for any one of God's dear children to be while they're in this earth, but to sit at the feet of Jesus. And it's the safest place you can be and I could be. But too, it is a most favoured spot. She knew sweet communion with the dear Saviour. Fellowship with him. She lived so near him. And I know often it's a lesson to me, and may we each lay it to heart this morning. How near do we live to the dear Redeemer? Sometimes, alas, we're like Peter, aren't we? And we're afar off and follow the Lord afar off. But what a mercy it is when he brings us to his dear feet. It's been with me and quite sweet to me of late, you know. There's so many sweet records in the Word of God, especially through the Gospels, where there were those that were at the feet of Jesus. We think of Legion, what the Lord brought him from. Among the graves and among the dead, to sit at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And we think too of the dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee, where she came and crept behind him at his feet and washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And oh, look how the Lord so blessed her with pardon and with peace. And we think, as I took at the baptising at Great Yeldham last month, that beautiful word in the book of Ruth, where Ruth was brought to lie at the feet of Jesus, of Boaz, who was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid herself down, submissive to his will, to the Lord's will. You know, if you're brought to his dear feet, and I had no intention of naming this morning, but or taking it in this way, but you know, that's a wonderful place to be submissive at the feet of Jesus, desiring to know no will but his. And you think what you may be in this morning, I know not. But oh, to have that sweet submission, to be able to say, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Resign to it. It's a sacred place. But then another point we would name too is they were in a great trial here, Martha and Mary. Their brother Lazarus was sick. This was a great concern to them. But not only that, he was to die. And because of the closeness there was, not just naturally, but spiritually, it was a great loss to them. And they sent for the Master, the Lord Jesus. And they both said, you know, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. But you see, it was the Lord's will that he must die. And this thought comes to one's mind. You know, there are many things, if we have got a real religion, the Lord is working in us, that we will have to die to. Oh, there are. What do we read in Paul's letter? Ye are killed all the day long and has counted as sheep to the slaughter. You have to die to all hope in oneself, all hope in this world. Die to the pleasures of it. And the Lord will have all the heart of his dear children. And so he kills them of this and kills them of that. Stamps death on it. It's why that we don't rest on it, or build on it, or lean on it. The only place the sinner can lean, and Martha and Mary had to come to this, was upon their dear Redeemer. Where are you leaning? Where am I this morning? Are we leaning on self or something base instead of trusting sovereign grace? What about the bride of Christ in the Song of Solomon? We read that she came up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved, the dear Lord Jesus. And are you and am I this morning, while the Lord's the witness, leaning wholly upon him? And you know, the soul that really leans hard upon him, well, he will never fail them. Oh no. And that's the safest place you can be, leaning upon the dear Redeemer. It's like a little babe, well, lay in its mother's arms, it leans upon her. It's dependent upon her. And so the child of God is upon their dear Redeemer. But Lazarus must die, that the wonders of God might be manifested. Well, Martha, she goes out to seek him to come to the house. But Mary sat still in the house. And you know, I don't know why I say it, but you know, it's a wonderful place when we can sit still. The Word of God, you know, has said on many occasions, isn't it, be still or sit still. She sat still in the house. You may say, well, she didn't seem so exercised as Martha did to go out and to find the dear Redeemer. But you know, there are times where the Lord's people, he commands them to sit still. I remember some years ago, and I had a lot of trouble and was at really the ends of the earth, and I couldn't sleep or rest at all. And I had to beg of the Lord one night to give me a little sleep. And, you know, things often seem worse at night, don't they? The devil makes use of the darkness and of the night. And I begged of the Lord, he'd give me a little sleep. And I went to sleep, and I slept to 3 o'clock in the morning. And I woke and looked at the clock. And the Lord in a moment spoke to me, audibly from heaven, those words of the dear hymn writer: the strength of every tempted son consists in standing still. You know, I've never forgot it, the power that accompanied that word, you know. And the Lord showed me that's exactly what I got to do. And there was my strength, to sit still, to watch him work, to see his appearing. We're not told what was going on in the heart of dear Mary while she sat still in the house. But the Lord knew. Oh, he did. And I don't know why I name it, but it may be something you're in this morning and you may say, well, I must try and do this or that. And it may be the word is you've got to sit still. You think of the word that dear Naomi said to Ruth when she returned to her. She said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. And oh, to have that grace to sit still. Oh, is that precious word in that's been made such a gracious help and blessing to many of the Lord's dear children in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. He calms, you see, the troubled heart. Whispering such a word as that, be still. Why? Because it's all in the Lord's hand. We sing, don't we? But how often do we believe it? All events at his command. So there she was, sitting still in the house. And we read, and when she had so said, Martha had so said this, beautiful words to the Saviour, when Jesus said that he would raise Lazarus from the tomb. And then the resurrection, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And what did dear Martha say? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And then the words of our text, and when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly. There was no show in it. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Now we have in this text two vital things. Firstly, the Master is come. It was only he that could raise Lazarus from that grave. And remember, he had been in that grave 4 days. And by this time, Martha said, he stinketh. So corruption had set in. So naturally, it was an impossibility that he could ever be raised. But it wasn't impossible with the Saviour, was it? Have you got some impossibilities this morning? It may be in your providential pathway, it may be in your soul, it may be concerning the business. I know not. The things that are impossible with men are possible with the Lord. For with the Lord all things are possible. And you look how wonderfully he was to call Lazarus forth. But the point in the text is the Master has come. He that's in control of all things. And let us look at it in a few ways. Firstly, you think of coming into the house of God. We're all here before God this morning. He sees us exactly as we are. What is your concern as you come up? Is it like those Greeks in the Word of God where they said, Sir, we would see Jesus? Do you long as you come to the house of God for the Master to come? We sing in the hymn, don't we? What is the house to me unless the Master there I see? We're pleased, aren't we, to see each of our dear friends in the house of God, but oh, to see the Master there. The Master is come. And when you can say the Master is come and feel it, this is if we got a real religion, you see, it's feeling his presence there in the house. And so Martha says to her sister Mary, the Master is come. And this is a searching word too. The Master is come. How do we stand before the Master of assemblies, the Lord Jesus? Are we complete in him? Do we desire to know him as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all? The Master is come. And when he comes, there's a sacred awe. Oh, there is. You know, I've been over the years and visited many dear saints in hospital and in their homes. Many of them nearing their journey's end, and you know, been some sacred times where, you know, you go into the hospital ward. I shall never forget going into Canterbury Hospital to see the late Ruth Lockie. She got to undergo a very major operation. And just prior to that, because we were spending a few days in Kent, in those days, we went to Canterbury and we looked through around Canterbury and went into cathedral. And in the cathedral, you know, there was all these different things going on and activity. And I came out and I felt really sad as I came out. This was professingly to be the centre of the Church of England, the house of God, and they turned it into a den and all its glory spoiled. But you know, I went from there into that hospital. My wife and I went to see that dear soul. And you know, the sacred presence of Christ within that room, I should never forget. And her conversation was all about what the Lord had favoured her with. And she'd got to go under this deep surgery for cancer, and much of her stomach had got to be removed, and it was a great mountain before her. And she said to us, you know, she said, you know, the Lord has come since I've been in this ward, in this room. And you know, the presence of the Lord, I should never begin to describe it, how it was there. She said, you know, the Lord has spoken to me this word. And I'll read it to you in Peter's first epistle and chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And she said, you look at that word, it's such a beautiful word. And she said, when the Saviour dropped it into my heart, she said, I knew that I'd got to suffer. After you've suffered a while. She said, but it'll only be for a while. He's told me that. And what was the effect of it to do? Make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. And you know, there was everything in it that dear soul needed. Oh, there was. And may the Lord speak it to some poor soul this morning. And you know, when the Master comes, he will reveal himself to the sinner. Oh, yes. Let me ask you this question. Do you know what it is to come into Swavesey Chapel and the Master has come? And he's so blessed you with peace within and pardon. His sweet and sacred presence. I love that couplet of the hymn where we read, in thy presence I am happy, in thy presence I am secure, in thy presence all afflictions we can easily endure. Oh, the presence of the Lord, the Master is come. And what will the effect of this be in our poor hearts, if I know anything of it in any way? It'll melt the sinner's hardest marble of their heart. Oh, yes, you may come into the sanctuary hard and rebellious and kicking against the Lord and against his ways and his dealings, but when the Master comes, your heart is melted. You're resigned to his will, submissive, lying at his feet, humbled in the dust. You say, Lord, why me? Why hast thou favoured me? To know and feel thy presence. The Master is come. Well, much could be said, and I'll leave that part for your meditation. The Master is come. The day will come, of course, and I'll look at it in a moment, when the Master will come to take us from this earth. Oh, yes. You think of dear Elijah, when the Master came and took him in those chariots of fire to glory. What a wonderful way to leave this earth for dear Elijah it was. The Master is come. But just one further thought on this. There are times where he will solemnly come and reprove us. Oh yes, and correct us. There's not only the divine blessing in this, his Master is come, but there are times where he will come and reprove us. It's like a child, you know. There are times where they have to be reproved or corrected or chastened. And because of our sin, we need it, don't we? If we know our own heart, we have to say many times, don't we, to the Lord, Lord, do have mercy on us. And when he comes with his sweet taste of mercy, when he comes with a sweet taste of pardon and of peace in our souls, you know you won't forget these times. And what will you say? More frequent let thy visits be, or let them longer last. I can do nothing without thee. Make haste, O God, make haste. The Master is come and calleth for thee. You know, when this text dropped in quite powerfully to one's poor heart, it made me tremble, really. He calleth for thee. And I want to look at it just briefly in a few ways. Firstly, he comes and he calls his dear people out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light. You think how he came and called Saul of Tarsus. And when the Lord spoke to him on that Damascus road, he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. 'Tis hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the dear apostle trembled, you know, before the majesty of heaven. He knew what it was to hear the call, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? As he called you and called me from nature's darkness into his marvellous light. The Master is come. It'd be a wonderful thing. I keep trying to pray for it, and I believe many others do. In this terrible plague upon the land, the Lord would use it to call many. He can, you know. He has all power to make the sinner tremble before the majesty of heaven. The Master is come and calleth for thee. It's personal, you see. But then, do we know what it is for him to call us to seek him in prayer? It may bring something into your lot and pathway. And it's the voice of heaven calling you to seek his face, to pray earnestly to him. It may be you, dear children, at school, and there may be some exam you have to do and you don't know how to face it. And you have to call upon his holy name that he would guide you and help you and direct you how to answer it and what to do. And when you're troubled and persecuted at school, maybe for going to chapel or reading the Word of God, oh, may the Lord grant that you might call upon him who calls you to seek him and to serve him. Call upon him in prayer. The Master is come and calleth for thee. I cannot get away from this morning, how personal it is, you see, for thee. It was a personal word for Mary, spoken by Martha. She was the messenger. The message was from heaven. You know, dear Mr. Gascoigne used to say, really, the Lord's servants are the pipes that the gold and oil flows through. Now, you think of, you children, or think of a pipe that water flows through into your tap, into the kitchen or bathroom, wherever, or the gas pipe into the house. It's the instrument used to convey it there. And the Lord uses his servants, as dear Mr. Gascoigne said, they're the pipes that the gold and oil flows through. And many, you know, of the old ones will remember some of his sayings. And he was the messenger of heaven to the Lord's people. He calleth for thee. Now here where Martha was the messenger, the message came from the Lord. He calleth and calleth for thee. But then are you not called to be obedient to the Lord, to obey what he has told you? Well, many sermons could be preached on that, because you see, he sometimes speaks, as I have indicated earlier, a word, be still and be obedient to it. And he causes people to be obedient. I remember preaching from that at Ashwell. I think it's in the epistles of Paul to the church at Corinth, where he says, be ye as obedient children. And you know, the Lord wonderfully used it that Lord's day, and two came forward through it. They said to me, I called there to see them on Monday, and they said, the Lord has said we've got to be obedient to him. He's called us to be obedient. Like dear parents will be with their children, they love to see them obedient, doing what they are asked to do. And upon that theme, it's been with me much since I awoke this morning. You think of the dear disciples. There they were, fishermen, many of them. And the Lord called them. He said, he didn't use a multitude of words, did he? Follow me. It's a clear call. And there may be one here this morning. He calleth for thee to follow him, to be obedient to him. Be ye as obedient children. And what a call it is, isn't it? Matthew at the receipt of custom, what did he say to him? Follow me. They stood amazed at this man who had been at the receipt of custom, where a lot of the things that went on there were not right. And the Lord called him from it all, follow me. And may the Lord speak that to each of us. You know, to be a real follower of the Lord Jesus is a blessed thing, you know. He calls us to follow. Which leads me to this. He calls us to follow him in walking through the paths of affliction. Many of the Lord's dear children, you know, today there are many that we know of and many we know not of that are called to walk in the paths of affliction. And you think of the afflictions the dear Saviour endured. He calleth for thee to walk in measure, only in measure. You could never stand the afflictions that he endured, nor could I. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he bare them all the days of old. And he caused his dear people to walk the path of affliction. Over the years, you know, I've seen many of the Lord's dear people. And when we think of affliction, let's be very clear in it. He doesn't just mean bodily affliction. The word affliction in God's word meant anything that caused pain and anguish and trouble. When the children of Israel went through the wilderness, they had to walk through the path of affliction. And it was much pain, much anguish, much sorrow. It was the path the Saviour trod, you see. Oh, it was. He calleth for thee. And he's appointed a particular lot for each one of his dear children. Oh, he has. The master's lot you must expect. Tribulation more or less. He calleth for thee. There may be one that's kicking against this morning. Lord, why have I got to walk this path? And others are going along smoothly. If he's called you to it, poor soul, he'll give you grace to bear it. Oh, he will. And that grace will uphold you under it and strengthen you in it. He calleth for thee. And then, of course, the paths of trouble and of distress. You think of all what the Saviour had to go through. And if we're to be followers of him, we shall have to walk in measure what he walked. Yes. Oh, yes. We often have to walk it because of our sin, but he knew no sin. But you think of the great weight he bare when he bore the sins of his whole church, his bride, and bore it for them. That they might have heaven at last. He calleth for thee. It may be in some matter I've not named this morning, but you have it laid on you that he calleth for thee. To be submissive and obedient to his mind and his will. But then, of course, the hour is fast coming with us each. Well, he will call us from this earth. He'll say to his dear children, come away. You know, when my late dear grandmother was nearing her journey's end, dear Mr. Sperling Tyler preached from that beautiful word in the book of the Song of Solomon. And what a gracious word it was to her. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Beautiful word, you know, arise, my love. It's just as though the Lord was saying to her redeemed soul, come away into glory to be with the dear Redeemer without a veil between. She made a blessed end, you know. Her end was peace. She could lay down and die, finish with the earth, call in her way. May it be so with us. Oh, that's why I said concerning Elijah, you see, what a one. It's been with me last few days thinking of the dear man. You know how the Lord called him from away from this earth. Sent the chariots from heaven to fetch him. Now I'm not suggesting the Lord will do that with us, but you know, oh, to be called away from this world. George Rose, the late servant of God, Mr. George Rose, used to say, you know, when the Lord's people come to their end, they are leaving this world, they're going home. They're going home. This is not your home. This is not your rest. He calls them home to glory. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But what he used to say too is, when the world and the ungodly come to their end, he said, they're leaving home. This is their home, you see. Look at the difference. The child of God has an eternal home in glory. And the Lord will call them to it, to be with him without a veil between. But with the world, they are leaving home. All they've got is here. And then it's eternal damnation. Think how solemn. Oh, may this word stir us each up this morning. Are we ready? Am I made, the hymn writer said, a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood. Have I union with the church's living head? And when the Lord sweetly assures you have that sweet hope of glory, you'll long for the hour to come when he will call you home. Friend, come up higher. Amen.
There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, and Miss Matthew Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Gerald Buss next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor feeblings. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the boys. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do be with us now and through the afternoon season, and be with us this evening, and help us if it's thy will. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.